Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, I'm Brian. As an aspiring baker, I've got a lot of secret ingredients. But my best one yet? Metro by T-Mobile. Metro gave me and the family high-speed data for only $25 a line for 4 lines and covered the switching fees. Plus, they threw in 4 free Galaxy phones just for switching. Now we can post pictures of my latest bakes and get out the word so the whole town knows I'm whipping up something sweet. How's that for stretching some serious dough?
You work hard for your money. With Metro by T-Mobile, it goes further. This tax season, there's 0 fees to switch. Right now, enjoy Metro's lowest price. Just $25 a line for 4 lines with taxes and fees included. Plus 4 free Samsung Galaxy phones when you switch. Now that's the best deal in wireless.
I'm Brian, and that's how I rule my day with Metro by T-Mobile.
All lines lose promo rate if any deactivates. Sales tax and regulatory fees included in price. 0 fee on select phones. Limit 1 free phone per line with port. Excludes sales tax. Limited time offer. Additional terms apply. See Metro by T-Mobile.com.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing.
No, you ain't.
He ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interviews. I know. I'm good. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops, we're on a rampage. Bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in dust cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say you
sure.
Weren't the rebels in trouble once? Weren't the young rebels in trouble once? Didn't things look lost for the young rebels at some point?
We can get into how the Empire was the victim of
Tony Brothers.
Well, I was going to say propaganda and storytelling from a certain perspective. But yes, indeed, the rebels were very much.
When would you say the rebels were most in trouble?
I would say when their entire fleet was pretty much dead and their only hope was shooting a 2-meter bazooka into the giant hole to blow the spaceship up.
Okay, so compared with that situation,
yeah,
right, and being ninth in the West,
mm-hmm,
who would you say is in more dire circumstances? The rebels?
The rebels' win percentage was next to zero.
At that point?
Yes.
There was nothing to say,
yes,
to predict that the rebels
win probability,
would come through.
Their win probability was
now,
very,
mind you, let's be honest,
very low.
Let's be honest. Luke stopped listening to the coach at that point, though. Like, did you notice that? Like,
there's no question.
He just took off the old headphones and, like, he's like, I'm doing this my hero ball. I would say it's hero ball.
I would say he is the definition of hero ball.
Yeah. So, I don't know if there's a lesson there, but May the 4th be with you,
uh-huh,
ladies and gentlemen. It is May the 4th. It is, of course, the day in which we celebrate the Star Wars media franchise. Do you know when the first one dropped?
77, correct?
Very good, 1977. I was looking this up today. The first time the reference to May the 4th be with you was made was 2 years later when Margaret Thatcher became prime minister in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And the Conservative Party placed a congratulatory advertisement, or advert, as we would say,
of course,
in the London Evening News saying, May the 4th be with you, Maggie.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
I'm guessing they were not Star Wars fans.
You don't think so? You think they would be the Empire? You think Conservative Party would be the Empire?
I'm just saying the only difference is the Empire's not really big on cutting government spending.
So anyway, there you go. That's, and then, of course, it's gone on from there. You are a big Star Wars fan,
oh,
right?
Yes.
You think GP is a Star Wars fan? I think not.
I would think not.
Believe I've ever heard him.
No, he's kind of in that weird age bracket where, like, it's a bunch of people my age, and it's, like, a bunch of people that are, like, my dad's age.
Oh, you think he falls in
He
the
falls
crack.
In that, yeah, he's...
It's not that he himself is wired to not be a Star Wars fan. It's that he falls in the crack between the... Interesting theory. Let me ask you this. Our local film critic, Chris Harrington, resident film critic, who we have every single day, do you think he's a Star Wars fan?
I think he...
Probably watches them for amusement, right?
Yeah, I would say Chris does, like, watch some popcorn films and enjoys them. I think he falls into that category. I don't think he'll like every single one of them. But
I bet he thinks, though, that as films, like, for take the Rocky franchise.
Sure.
There's some there that I bet he really likes. Rocky
like the,
I. Fir-
the first one, I
the
think
first one.
The first one gets completely overlooked as it was a testament to, like, independent filmmaking. Like it was,
I think he likes the first. Didn't the first one?
One in four, good.
Yeah.
And then a couple of the new ones are good.
Are any of the Star Wars movies good?
Good is a point of view.
Critics like. Rotten Tomatoes, the critics on the Rotten Tomatoes, highest ranked Star Wars film.
I bet it's Empire.
And you think it's good?
I think Empire's good.
Think it's fresh?
I think Empire's good. I still think Rogue One's the best movie.
Go to Rotten Tomatoes and put in Star Wars and let's see where they rank while I tell the people what's coming up today. Today is Tuesday, and so we have GP in the next segment. We'll talk to Gary Parrish in the next segment about all manner of things. You notice he moves Michigan up in the top 25 and one.
Mm.
Like they get a portal transfer and that was maybe headed to Memphis, goes to Michigan instead, and all of a sudden they go up in the top 25 and one. We'll talk to GP coming up next. Then Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies and what happened last night at FedEx Forum. And then it is Fish on Friday on Tuesday, and we've gotten to the point where we now have requests. People want Charles's big brain to address certain topics. And the topic that was our friend Lexi Johnston, Realtor to the Stars here in Memphis, Tennessee, she asks, have you heard about this
China space
situation?
Not until Lexi sent the video.
I wasn't aware of it. She's aware of it because evidently it's a big subject on TikTok. But so China launched something into space recently, right? But in addition to launching... Now, mind you, all I know about this is what literally the TikTok video
sent me. Well, but I mean, I think that makes us experts, right?
That makes us experts.
58 seconds was more than enough time to get the main aspect.
To launching the whatever it was that they intended to launch into space, they launched, and this seems almost hard to believe, they launched the launcher into space.
Yeah. I'm not sure how that happened, but it did. Empire is the highest rated.
Okay, and what's it rated? What's it by the critics?
94% critics, 97%
audience. Wow. Legit great film.
Yeah. Now, the first one is still hanging in there pretty strong. 92% critics, 96. And I can get
Are other ones over 90? Are those the only two that are over 90%?
Return of the Jedi is at 82% with critics, 94% with audience. Revenge of the Sith, episode 3, so that's the one where he becomes Vader. Spoiler alert, 80% with critics.
So basically, are any of them less than 50% by critics? Do the critics hate any Star Wars movie?
52% for Phantom Menace. Force Awakens, Rogue One. No, none of them are. And then 51% for Rise of Skywalker.
I got you. When you are looking at did you look at Rotten Tomatoes or Metacritic or whatever else before you go see a film, before you decide to see a film?
If I back in the days, remember like when you could just go like on a Saturday, like I think today's a movie day,
right,
I want to go see a movie, but you hadn't really decided what you wanted to see,
yeah.
I will look then. But if there's just a movie coming out that I know I want to see, I try not to look.
How about if it's on Netflix?
Yes, definitely.
I always look.
I also, though, want to see both. I want to see both critics and audience.
Yes, and which weighs more heavily with you?
It depends. I want to see something that doesn't have a big spread.
Yeah, let's be honest. The ones I will not go see are the ones that the critics love and the audience hates.
Yes.
I got no interest in that.
Yes.
I'll let the eggheads go see that, says the guy with a certain egghead background. But I will...
Not for me.
Not for me. I would be more inclined to see a film that the people like.
Oh, for sure.
Because in the end, I'm a people. And I'm not all that sophisticated in my film consumption.
Well, I also can appreciate movies for what they are. Now, like, the Fast and Furious franchise has gotten absurd, and it's also, like, right, done this weird where it was so bad that it all of a sudden caught fire, and now it's, like, getting
one
reviewed.
One of the dangers is that, of the people thing. I like it if the people like it. But if a film is such a niche film that the only people who see it are people who would like it, you know what I mean? Like,
yes,
well, this subgroup is going to see the film, and of course they will like it. Well, that's not anymore, and that's no longer representative of the people. So, but yeah, I do like it to be, you know, above 60%, 70% by the critics. I don't like to watch the not complete schlock, but I put more stock in the people. Always have. That's me. I am ultimately a man of the people. Did I mention that today we are going to talk about? So this launcher has been, and this giant rocket launcher has been launched into space, and according to TikTok, which is all you really need to know.
Yeah, we're good there.
It's going to fall to Earth.
Yeah, and somewhere south of New York,
it could hit Memphis,
and north of, I believe they said, New Zealand.
Basically, we're in the bullseye.
Yeah, basically, well, I mean, I think technically the entire world
basically the Entercom Studios is right there at the center of the bullseye.
Seem to be safe if you're up in, like, the northern parts. Like, the north and south poles seem to be good.
This giant-ass thing is going to fall to Earth,
mm-hmm,
and the question is, are we all going to die? Or some of us, anyway.
Yeah.
And so, this is new.
Is this a new Michael Bay movie?
Or is it a new Michael Bay movie? So this question has been posed to Charles. He's not taken requests before, but I know that he has explored it. And so we'll get the answer to that. Are we all going to die? Also, of course, the Bill and Melinda Gates divorce is big news. And Charles has thoughts on that as a man who has stayed happily married,
mm-hmm,
for the duration. And then an update on condom sales. Do you think condom sales are up or down?
If you made me guess down. I think sex is down.
Condom sales, you think, down?
Yeah.
Well, we'll get the answer to that as well.
Porn use way up.
In the meantime, the Memphis Grizzlies have now... They've lost their grip. Let's be honest. In many ways, they've just lost their grip. Full stop. Like that's enough.
That can explain a lot.
They have lost their grip. Here's how bad it got.
The puppy that lost its way.
Here's how bad it got. We don't have a lot of highlights. I'll be honest. We don't have a lot of highlights to share with you. But we do have Eric explaining what happened at the very end.
1:46 remaining. 108-101. Grizzlies need a quick bucket here. Anderson waiting for a screen from Valanciunas down the lane. Kicks it out for Morant. Morant off the bounce into the lane. Got bumped. No foul. Forced it up. Missed the shot. Nothing called.
Yeah, they're not going to give him a call tonight.
Well, I mean, but you gotta let it go. I mean, you can see that he's frustrated. Two technical fouls for Taylor Jenkins. That'll do it tonight.
We heard the whistle, Eric.
It's frustrating, Eric. And I think this is the right thing for Coach Jenkins to do. I mean, it's frustrating. Clearly, Ja Morant has been getting fouled tonight, and he hasn't gotten one foul, Eric. It's frustrating.
I mean, that's a foul. You've been calling that on the Grizzlies, and Tony Brothers tosses Taylor Jenkins. So two free throws for Julius Randle and the ball. And that'll pretty much put this one in desperate situation. Right corner, Brooks. Double team comes. And now they'll call a foul.
And I'm not going to...
Knicks had a foul to give.
And I'm not going to take away from what the...
No, the Knicks went 17-22.
What the Knicks did tonight. But, you know, I will say in the second half, the Grizzlies gave themselves an opportunity to get back to this basketball game.
Now this is typical Tony Brothers. Now he's going to tee up everybody. Dylan Brooks just got teed up. Now John Morant's going to get teed up. John Morant just got tossed. Dylan Brooks just got tossed. Tony Brothers on a rampage. Knicks are going to win their 13th and 14th games.
So that's how it ended in a flurry of frustration on the part of the Grizzlies. Tony Brothers tossing people left and right. Grizzlies have now lost 4 of 5.
Yep.
Since the and the only one they won in that span is a pretty dismal performance against Orlando, and they have. And they have fallen to ninth place in the West. Of course, we know the goal has been to remain in the 7-8 game rather than in the 9-10 game. Because if you're in the 9-10 game, you have to win two games to make the playoffs. Right now, were the season to end today, Grizzlies, by the way, 32-32. Golden State beat the Pelicans last night.
Thanks for nothing.
And so Golden State is now ahead of the Grizzlies. They've got a cake schedule going down the stretch. Portland 7, 3.5 ahead of the Grizzlies. That sucker, that ship has sailed.
Yeah.
Golden State 0.5 game ahead of the Grizzlies. That ship has not sailed, but it's not looking good the way the Grizzlies are playing. Grizzlies are a game ahead of San Antonio, and if we're looking down further, doesn't seem likely that New Orleans is not capable of catching anybody at this point.
No, I think they've played themselves out of it.
They have played themselves out of it. But if the season ended today, Memphis would be hosting San Antonio in a play-in game, would have to win that game, and then would have to beat either Portland or Golden State at either Portland or Golden State. Right now, doesn't look like the Grizzlies are going to make the playoffs.
No. As of right now, no.
Are the Grizzlies broken? Are the Grizzlies broken? That's my question.
I would argue the Grizzlies aren't broken. The Grizzlies were, for a very long period of time, playing probably above expectations. And I think, like in anything in sports, when you start playing above expectation, whatever your norm is, like that just becomes the expectation.
Right.
And that's just kind of,
but
for
don't
better
you think
or worse.
Right now they're I don't think they are playing now to expectation. Even whatever, even your, right now they suck. Let's be honest. Let me give you the backcourt last night, okay? Right now it's Ja Morant going 2 of 14, 0 of 4 from 3 with 8 points and 2 technicals. The other starting guard in the backcourt, Grayson Allen, 0 of 5 from the field, 0 of 4 from 3, 2 points. Your starting backcourt gave you 10 points. That is not playing to expectations.
No,
even original expectations.
No, I would agree with that. I would also argue last night was an execution loss. I mean, I think if you want to go to your point, the problem that I have when you watch the Grizzlies in late game situations, it's not even necessarily, oh, they're not winning the games. It's how they end up losing games. It feels like it's a lot of empty possessions based upon.
Well, they got a bunch of stops at the end.
Yeah,
and
they got plenty
score.
Of opportunities in the
fourth
quarter.
Five straight stops in the end, and then they couldn't score. And by the way, on the fouls, yes, Tony Brothers missed some calls. Ja Morant had a right to be frustrated. But you look ridiculous when you have a game like Ja Morant has, and you get tossed. I mean,
even with New York shooting, I think 38 free throws after the texts were done. Is that right? 38? Is that what the number you got? Grizzlies still shot more free throws. I mean, they basically had a 10 free throw lead before the techs. Like, they shot more free throws. Like, I don't know. I didn't watch that game and feel like the officiating.
No. At the end, there were a couple calls at the end as
sure.
The Grizzlies were scrambling, as they were scrambling to get back into it. There were a couple of calls that the Grizzlies should have gotten that would have enabled them to get closer and might have ultimately enabled them to get over the hump. But they were outplayed from beginning to end in that game last night. That's what happened. They were outplayed. It was not Tony Brothers was Tony Brothers at the end. But that is not why they lost that game. They lost the game because the Knicks were tremendous and because, okay, on the broken question, last Monday, Portland looked broken.
Yeah. Sunday. Yes, yeah.
Last Sunday. Yeah, yeah, last Sunday. After in the wake of the loss to the Grizzlies,
yes.
Portland looked broken. They looked dead. They'd just been swept at home by the Grizzlies.
They looked like they were up on the mat with a standing 10.
And now they're fixed.
Yeah.
So, I'm not going to say they look permanently broken because you never know in this league. You know, you can.
Well, especially this year.
But so with that caveat, I think they look kind of broken. And the reason I say that is, like, okay, so now what have they done? They've benched Brandon Clark.
Yep.
They've benched Justice Winslow. Can't have Justice Winslow to kick around anymore, right?
There's always Grayson though.
But like, who is playing well? I'll tell you who's playing well. Dylan Brooks is playing well.
Yeah, and
Dylan Brooks is playing hard. If Dylan Brooks didn't have the third quarter he had, like,
oh, that game's a blowout.
That game is an absolute blowout. And Jaren Jackson was a little bit better last night.
I mean, there's your answer. Let's stop making this too difficult.
Well, that's what happened is right now it feels like. Again, what they did, we said this yesterday, bringing back these two players, one of whom didn't have to be brought back,
right,
was difficult. It was going to be difficult. And they did not handle it well. But the only part that they really didn't handle particularly well was the Justice Winslow stuff. That was a disaster. And it feels like so much damage was done in the course of trying to figure this out that they're lost now. They just feel lost. You know what it felt like last night? It felt like two teams, because these are more talented, the Knicks are more experienced, right? The Knicks have the more experienced coach, and the Knicks have the more experienced players. Like, D. Rose was absolutely unbelievable.
And right? I'd like to really tip my cap. Julius Randle this year has been incredible this year, and
so
he's
between
continued
Randle
that,
and
yeah.
Rose, you got two veteran dudes, and you got a veteran coach, and you have a team that is hitting its stride at this moment.
13-14, yes.
Tremendous. And then you have a team that is, at this critical moment, playing as bad as it has played all year. And some of that is because they have mismanaged it, but a lot of it is because the circumstances, they had to bring these players back. They certainly had to bring one of the players back, and it has not gone well. It was interesting because after the game, let's hear a little bit of Taylor Jenkins after the game. Taylor Jenkins was decidedly upbeat about the fight the team showed and all of that. Here's a little Taylor Jenkins.
No, great fight. Obviously, Knicks, heck of a team. Give them a lot of credit. They played amazing tonight. So many guys hitting tough shot after tough shot after tough shot. We played closer to our standard. That's what I hit the guys with this morning compared to the last game against Orlando. You know, I know it's not the result, but, you know, we trend the right direction. You know, tough second quarter, but I thought our guys gave it a great fight tonight. This is something to build off of. I thought we just had great fight for the entire game. Came up short. Just as I said, give the Knicks a lot of credit. They played really, really well tonight.
Okay, that's stupid. They did not have great fight the entire game, but I don't blame him for saying it. And here's why. Like, sometimes I'm like, oh, come on, man. Seriously, learning opportunity? You just freaking choked it away against, name the team, against, you just, you know, blundered a game away against Clippers second string and you're calling a great learning. Yeah. Like, sometimes when he's upbeat, I wish he'd call. But, Jimenez, what are you going to say at this point? Like, you're trying to find something. They did not have great fight all game. They came out, and listen, Brevin was clear about this. Brevin was, after the game, was talking about how they got to come out with energy, enthusiasm. He said they are not playing desperate basketball. They were at the end playing desperate basketball, and I don't blame Coach Jenkins for grabbing onto that as something to build on, because what the hell are you going to do right now? Look at DeAnthony Melton.
Yeah.
Like, DeAnthony Melton, we were saying, my God, look at the season this dude is having. He's unbelievable. He should be in the starting lineup. He's tremendous. DeAnthony Melton, like, again, not broken, but suddenly looks like bubble DeAnthony Melton.
Yeah.
Played 9 minutes last night, 1 of 4 from the field, 1 of 3 from three, 3 points. That's DeAnthony Melton, who's been a total stud. Bane was good. Like, Bane was good last night. And Dylan was good last night. Beyond that,
I mean, Jonas had a really tough night, I thought.
Jonas had a tough night. Morant was awful. Grayson was awful. I mean, Kyle was fine. But what do they have?
He was fine, but here's
what I... And it's confidence, it's swagger, it's all of that stuff. I mean, it is at this point...
They certainly are not carrying themselves like they did when they were playing well.
Not at all. And so... I think they have successfully screwed up the chemistry, whatever it is, screwed up the momentum, the chemistry, whatever that elusive thing is in the process. Now, again, you could have said that about Portland. They looked dead. They were two ships passing in the night. The Grizzlies on the way up and Portland on the way down. Well, that stopped pretty damn fast. And instead, and you have the – so I'm not saying it's not fixable, and it is possible – that the run that they went on, it's possible you could look back on the run they went on in the fourth quarter, late in the last fourth quarter, when they got it down to five.
I think it was 106-101.
And then that's when there was a foul that should have been called against Ja that wasn't called, and Ja is not getting calls, but it's possible you'll look back on the little fight they showed at the end here and see, oh, that was the spark that led to the reversal of the, you know, of Grizzlies finding themselves again. But they did not, like, that game last night was one team who knows exactly what they are, playing at their highest level, and one team that forgot how to play the way they play when they're tremendous.
Yeah, like, not to distill it down so simply, but I really thought, to me, what I made a note of is, yeah, the Grizzlies got some stops in the fourth quarter and they gave themselves a chance, but just compare the possessions that the Knicks had when it was in those deciding moments versus the possessions that the Grizzlies had. Everything felt smooth with the Knicks. Like, they knew exactly who was getting the ball. It was either Randall or it was Rose, and they got a good shot. And if it went in, it went in. And if not, they went back, and then they immediately got a stop. And then on the other end of the floor, it felt like the Grizzlies were
How about Ja trying to go off the backboard with him Ja trying to go off the backboard to himself.
It
led to an easy basket the other way.
It was a dunk. And yeah. I actually said, I think that was as big of a momentum play as the no call, which resulted in the tech and the two techs for Taylor Jenkins. And like, to me, like, that is kind of what has stood out for the Grizzlies when they struggle in crunch time. It feels like, rather than just getting a basket, it's like trying to play a hero play.
Yeah. I don't Well, and at their best, they're the opposite of
Houston.
At their best, they're sharing the ball. They're so I actually don't blame Taylor Jenkins for trying to say, hey, guys, you showed great fight. We'll build on this. You know, what else are you going to say?
I'm with you.
They look beaten down.
And in the end, like, that tech solidified that they weren't going to win the game.
Oh, I don't mind him getting tossed at all.
I do get what he was doing.
I don't think Ja getting text was a good look, but I think that Taylor getting tossed was fine. He's just trying to do something at this point. Like, it does feel to me like, you know, you walk in a store and the sign says, you break it, you bought it.
Yeah.
Well, it feels like they broke it. You know, in the process of trying to bring the players back, they broke it. And now they're like, they got these shards of glass on the floor and they own it. And how do you put
it back together?
All you can do is take out the glue and try to put it back together. And that's what it feels like they are doing. Some interesting comments. Chris Harrington asked Taylor Jenkins pregame if there was a chance that Jaren would come off the bench. He came off early last night, would come off the bench for the duration of the season. And Taylor Jenkins did not rule that out. And that would be fine. Like, I think it's the continual.
This is where I part ways.
Disruption that is the issue.
This is where I part ways. I think, yes, it was going to be difficult bringing back Jaren at the point of the season that you did. But it feels like because they are digging their heels in and saying he's coming off the bench, it's made this entire chessboard way more cluttered.
Right. I guess my point is this. I agree to stick him in the starting lineup. But to me, the biggest issue would have been to have him off the bench and then tear it up again and to put him in the starting lineup.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to do it, do it. If you're not going to do it, then that's fine. Then do that. Like, in the end, you need settled rotations here. We don't need to keep I think one of the reasons they have they're in the fix that they're in is that they don't have any particular settled rotations, and they therefore don't have the confidence that comes with with playing with each other and being comfortable with each other and all of that. Anyway, the Grizzlies are now in eighth place. They're now in ninth place.
Half game back, yeah.
Half game back, and it is not looking great. It is not looking great.
I mean, the
Rebels have been in a worse position.
If you're looking for silver lining, this team's been a much better road team this year than they have been. The
team has been a much better
and
road
so now
team.
You've
now
got
they're going on the road.
And you get Minnesota, who is playing better, but that is a team you should beat.
Yep.
You go to Detroit, same thing.
Yep.
Honestly, you go to Toronto, you're better than them. And I understand that there's back-to-backs.
Particularly since you're going to Toronto south.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. No. That's three. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Portland was broken. Portland was broken a week ago. You have a chance to fix this.
Yeah.
And so I don't mind Taylor Jenkins being upbeat. I really don't. There are a whole bunch of different types of moms. There's working moms. There's stay-at-home moms. There's stepmoms, bonus moms, grandmoms, pets moms, all kinds of moms. Moms down the street. There's a lot of moms in this city who aren't the actual biological mom, but step in and do the work of a mom.
Absolutely. Particularly, yes.
And so there's that kind of mom. Moms are going to be celebrated on Sunday, and there is a chance to do it in the best way possible, and that is with a diamond from Robert Irwin Jewelers. Some examples: Love's Crossing pendants, two intertwining diamond hearts set in gold or silver with a diamond in the middle, the perfect gift to show mom she is the center of your universe, starting at $199. Quarter carat diamond hoop earrings, $3.99. Stackable bands for mom starting at $199. Robert Irwin even has the perfect gift for your pet's mom, a diamond paw necklace. I should get that for Willow. Only $79.
So the Gus can eat it?
It is. Robert Irwin Jewelers. There's five convenient locations. I go to the one that's right across from Novel over there, but there are five locations in the Memphis area. Go on in and get some. You know, mom spelled backward is mom, right? We know that, right?
An ambigram.
Mom spelled upside down.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Robert Irwin Jewelers is the place to go to take care of your mom. We got to take a break. Come back in a moment with GP, then Chris Harrington, then Fish on Friday on Tuesday. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Mayday, mayday. This may be hard to believe, but there are four amazing games making the rounds this May.
Wow.
Maybe you've heard of them.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Oh.
But make no mistake, all four are sure to cause mayhem all May long. So don't wait and run the risk of being, well, dismayed.
Oh, man.
Make a major play today with new May instant games.
Nice.
If you're lucky, you may find yourself making it rain with a major amount of cash. Yeah. New May instant games only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
You'd be amazed to learn what one Tennessee Lottery ticket can lead to. For you, it could be lucky. But for others, it could open the door to so much more. With nearly $6 billion raised for education, the Tennessee Lottery has proudly funded over 1.5 million scholarships and grants. That means, on average, more than 130,000 Tennesseans every year continue their education just because you played. The Tennessee Education Lottery. Game-changing, education-benefiting fun.
To all you do-it-yourselfers, get ready to welcome Fram into the fam. Because America's number one oil filter brand now has their own new line of motor oil and fluids, and it's only at Advance and CarQuest Auto Parts. Stop into Advance and choose from four new Fram oil change bundles starting at just $20.99. They have the oil and filters you need to keep your engine running stronger, longer. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See store for details.
I need these boxes in bin 7. Oh, hello? Hi. I just wanted to call in and find out when next...
Whitney's warehouse foreman just retired, and the replacement needs to move to fulfillment.
Hold on. Guys, can we get the dock cleared now?
Indeed can help her hire the people she needs.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job, you immediately get your short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Get mom the perfect gift at Macy's Mother's Day sale with an extra 25% off her favorite designers with your coupon or Macy's card. That's on top of already great deals like 35 to 55% off fine jewelry she'll love and 20 to 30% off handbags, accessories, and more great gift ideas. Plus, get your gifts even faster with same-day delivery powered by DoorDash. Now at Macy's.com. Savings off regular sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Sorry to interrupt your jams, murder mystery podcasts, or motivational beach noises, but we got something else you might like to hear. It's called cash. That's the sound of an extra $250 after your first 10 deliveries with Uber Eats. That's right, an extra $250 on top of all the other cash you'll make during those first 10 deliveries. If that sounds good, visit t.uber.com/extra250. Uber Eats, deliver with us. Limited time offer, terms apply. See t.uber.com/extra250 for more details.
If you're very quiet, you can hear it. The joy, the freedom, the crunch. From 100% whole grain oats. Stay outside longer with Nature Valley Oats and Honey Crunchy Granola Bars. We are better outside.
Microban 24 protects against Staphylococcus aureus and Enterobacter aerogenes bacteria, but does not provide 24-hour protection against viruses. Every time you touch a surface, you leave behind bacteria. To keep surfaces sanitized all day, use Microban 24 sanitizing spray. Spray on hard surfaces to kill 99.9% of viruses and bacteria initially, including the virus that causes COVID-19. Once dry, Microban 24 sanitizing spray is effective for 24 hours on bacteria when used as directed.
Cooper Systems in the Mount Moriah Office Park, 360-9679. That's the number. This is Gary Parrish from The Gary Parrish Show. I've been telling you about Cooper Systems for years. It's the place to get any kind of computer you need. They've also been repairing computers, honestly, for decades, and nobody knows that better than this city's best consumer investigator ever, the legend Andy Wise.
Gary, I came to know Cooper Systems when I partnered with Lee and Lauren Cooper and their staff on an undercover investigation a couple years ago on computer repair businesses, and Lee and his crack technicians helped me uncover some pretty bad deals, and they helped me hold these lesser computer repair shops accountable. I mean, you know, for over 26 years, Cooper Systems has been solving computer problems honestly and at a fair price. What I have discovered in my partnership with them is if you want reputation, if you want locally owned, if you want an impeccable record, you want Cooper Systems.
360-9679 is the number, 360-9679. If you want to deal with somebody you can trust, it's Cooper Systems, Mount Moriah Office Park, on the web, coopersystems.com.
For all your computer needs, trust Cooper Systems to be your wise choice.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
To the bright side.
got money.
I'd suggest going to claimittn.gov. Claimittn.gov. Put in your name. Takes about, 2 seconds, and you may discover that you are owed money. It is the Tennessee Department of Treasury working hard to put money back in your pocket. It's your money. It's just money that got lost somewhere along the way, like some refund check or some doctor's office decided they owed you, you know, $43 that you shouldn't have paid, and so they're trying to get it to you. And but maybe you moved or something, so they couldn't find you. Right now they got $1.1 billion in there. 90 of it was mine. I got it now. Claimittn.gov. Tell your friends too. After the show, just go ahead, or during the commercial, take no time at all, and there's no catch. Claimittn.gov. Get your money. Joined now by Gary Parrish, host of the Gary Parrish Show from 4 to 6 every single day. Nice enough to have me on at 5 o'clock every single day. GP is also National College Basketball Columnist for CBS Sports, CBSSports.com, all that stuff. He is a multiple Emmy-winning personality, rising star in the field of meteorology. He joins me now. Hey, GP, are the Grizzlies broken? Is GP broken? That would be my follow-up question.
I'm here. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me apologize for my voice.
Hold on. Before we get to this, it is this time every single freaking year you can't talk. And sometimes we worry you're dying. But literally this happens to you this time every year, and it's not just that your voice is hoarse, it's like you don't have enough breath. What happens to you this time every year?
I'm not real sure.
Bad asking you questions. Go ahead, keep going.
Well, I thought I could talk. I thought it would sound better than it's sounding right now. I apologize.
Are you going to do your show? Like, how do you get through 2 hours like this?
Yeah, I know. I'm hoping it'll just get better. Just like everything else in my life, I just hope it'll get better all the time. I'm just consistently hoping everything will get better. Last night, I genuinely couldn't talk at all. Like, my voice was completely gone. When I woke up this morning, I took my middle guy to school, and on the drive back home, I just sort of talked to myself in the car,
right.
You know, for like six minutes.
Right.
Yeah. And it seemed better than it is right now. I apologize.
No, it's
so the question is what happened? I don't know. I'm a little stopped up. And then my voice was the next thing to go. I don't feel bad. My wife was like, you need to go to the doctor. And I'm like, probably. You're probably right.
Well, have you historically gone? Literally this happens to you every year. Have you historically gone to the doctor when this happens, or does it just go away?
It just goes away. I mean, that's why I'm hoping it'll be gone. I was hoping it'd be gone by now, but hopefully it'll be better by this afternoon. It's better now, much better now, if you can believe it, than it was last night. I could tell it was starting to go away toward the end of yesterday's show. I could just sort of feel it. I was having problems getting the words out, and then it completely collapsed last night as I was being frustrated by both the Grizzlies and the Mets. And it's slightly better now. Hopefully it'll be better in a few hours. I don't know. Fingers crossed. I'm going to swing Dayquil all day long and be ready to go by 4 o'clock. Are the Grizzlies broken? I don't know if they're broken, but they're certainly going through a rough stretch right now. The coaching staff seems frustrated. Ja seems frustrated. The results aren't good. And they're going the wrong way in the standings. It is remarkable how positive Taylor can remain, and not necessarily in the game. He got removed from the game, but in the post-game press conferences, like, he does not want to be there. And I struggle listening to them. Some of the questions, and I'd say this as respectfully as I could say, but they're just so unnecessary. Like there's only a handful of things to talk about last night after last night's game. And if you're asking questions that don't fall under that umbrella, you're just wasting everybody's time and wasting a frustrated coach's time. He stays remarkably positive. I don't agree with everything he's saying, but I would not be able to say it's positive if he's staying under these circumstances, because what felt like was a real, you know, opportunity to finish this season and have it feel like, man, that was a step in the right direction. And boy, the future is bright and the present is pretty good. I'm not saying that that's over now, but it's not trending the proper way.
By the way, so on the press conferences, I feel, you know, I'm not going to criticize because I never ask questions on them. Like I rarely join them. Sometimes I join them and listen in. I don't think I've asked them a question all year. I just don't like Zoom press conferences, I'll be honest. You know, I suppose if there's something pressing, whatever, but I don't think they're particularly revealing. And then the truth of the matter is, it's not an objection, it's just an observation. Taylor Jenkins isn't real on those press conferences. You know what I mean? Like some coaches, Hubie, right? Like he would be real. Dave Yeager usually would be real. Lionel would be snappish, right? He'd bite your head off. Taylor, to his credit or whatever, it's a very corporate feel over there, and he just doesn't feel like he's just saying words, honestly. They're upbeat words usually, and he's done a great job. Like, I think until this stretch, he's done a magnificent job, and obviously there's a lot gone into – but I struggle a little with him because I don't really sense I'm getting much real from him. What I mean? You know?
Yeah.
And then the questions are mostly upbeat, like, hey, you showed a lot of fight tonight, didn't you? Like, what? Like – So, yeah, I don't know. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Yeah, you just lost by 14 inside FedEx Forum as a 3.5-point favorite. Like, I'm not that interested in what kind of fight you showed, losing by double digits in a game you were supposed to win. I just feel like sometimes those things are – there's two things happening there. There's people asking questions just to have their voice heard on the Zoom press conference, and then there's Taylor – you know, not answering them. He's not lying. It's just the way he does it. You're not going to get his real thoughts. I mean, evidence being less than a week ago, he was on a post-game press conference talking about being encouraged by Justice Winslow. Right. There was no reason to be encouraged by Justice Winslow, and now he's out of the rotation. He didn't play last night. So, you know, he obviously, when he was saying what he was saying, that wasn't how he really felt. So you just have to go into it knowing you're not going to get what it is you're after. And so the whole thing feels
Then what is the point? Yeah, like then when there's no point, then the things are pointless. So anyway, he is upbeat, and I don't know what else there is to do at this point other than to be upbeat, because when I say it's broken, like when Justice Winslow was playing and badly, then you're like, well, that's the fix. Take Justice Winslow. Well, now Ja's bad, you know? Dan Anthony Melton's bad. Grayson Allen's bad. Jaren's not very good. You just want to sit down on the floor and weep. It would be like me trying to assemble something from IKEA. Like, I got no idea. Like, I can't do this. It's what it feels like to me. Now, again, they're going on a road trip, which is a pretty easy road trip. They got Minnesota, and then they got Detroit, and, like, they can get this fixed. But you're right. Compared to where we were, it just looks so freaking discouraging.
Yeah, I think Ja specifically is in a really interesting place right now. You know, this year two has not gone, you know, the way I'm certain he hoped it would go. And I don't want to get too into the weeds on this, but I'm sort of fascinated by somebody's life changing as much as his life has changed in a very short amount of time. Like, Zion Williamson's life has changed, but not really. I mean, he's been super famous since he was a teenager in high school, you know, based on the house that he lived in or his parents lived in when he was in college. He was wealthy, or his family had money before he ever got to college. You know, Ja Morant went in a span of 2 years from the third leading scorer at Murray State to the Rookie of the Year. He went in a span of 2 years as the third leading scorer at an OVC school to the face and star of an NBA franchise. He went from, you know, let's just say a modest background to a multimillionaire very quickly. He went from somebody, honestly, I didn't even know who he was through most of his freshman year of college, to the face of the franchise in my hometown in a span of 2 years. His life has changed a lot, both on a professional level and a personal level. And now he's not performing the way that he had shown signs that he's capable of performing. He made it very clear publicly he wanted to be an all-star this season. That did not happen. I just think all of that thrown together can really do a number on you. And it doesn't mean he can't or won't come out of the other side of this. I'll bet on John Morant. I'm going to keep betting on John Morant. There's nobody I'd rather have as the face of this franchise right now. But when you think about where he was, you know, at the end of his freshman year of college and how quickly this has all happened for him and to him, I would imagine at that age, perhaps at any age, it's a lot to handle. And obviously last night, the frustration boiled over on the court first and then to Twitter. He'll probably be fined by the end of the day.
What did you make of Ja Morant's tweet? Let's see if we have it here. His tweet was, did he take it down or is it still up? Here it is. Send threats, then want to give texts, LOL. He retweets the video of himself getting ejected. And it says, send threats, then want to give texts, LOL. And then smiley face and clown emoji.
I mean, I wouldn't have done it, but I'm also not, you know, I'm not 21 years old, you know. I'm not somebody dealing with all the things I just explained that he's dealing with. There was a time not too long ago where Ja Morant could tweet anything and nobody even saw it because who was Ja Morant? Well, now, you know, his world has changed in a drastic way. And again, I think he's frustrated. That tweet is evidence of frustration. I'm a little surprised he didn't wake up and delete it. Like, I've done that before, you know, tweeted something at night and then woke up and said, that was not the right thing to do. He'll be fined for it. It'll be a lesson learned.
What does it even mean? Send threats.
I'm not going to try to translate a 21-year-old's social media. It seemed to be directed at Tony Brothers, that maybe Tony Brothers said something to him, and then Josh said something back, and then Tony Brothers teed him up, and then he's out of the game. Like, maybe Ja thought, hey, I thought we were just talking back and forth, and now you're going to throw me out of the game? I mean, I don't know. But, like, here's the problem with that. Even if that is true, you can't go back and forth with the officials. That's how you get taken foul.
And you can't use the word threats in a tweet, whatever the hell it means, with an official. By the way, that tweet has 2,287 retweets and 26,900 likes. Ja Morant, to your point, now has 1 million followers. 2 years ago, you know, what do we have, 3,000?
I mean, maybe. I mean, I'm not exaggerating when I tell you I cover college basketball, and if you would have asked me, you know, in the middle of his freshman year, who is Ja Morant, I would have said, I don't know who you're talking about. Like, think about that, how quickly his world changed. He was unbelievable as a sophomore at Murray State. But as a freshman, he was the third leading scorer. Now, he was statistically great, but he was the third leading scorer on a mid-major team. And now he's the face of a franchise, and it happened really quickly.
And he's not even just
really
the face
quickly.
Of the franchise. He's one of the five biggest young stars in the league. You know, most famous big young stars in the league. He's not Zion, but you know, he's on the next level.
Yeah, he's learning. You know, he's a 21-year-old having some professional struggles right now. You know, I don't care to get into his personal life, but I think it's publicly known that those circumstances have changed over the past year. Like, there's a lot going on. And I can't speak for Ja Morant, but I know I would struggle with everything that has happened to him and that he's gone through and the new world in which he lives. It would be hard for me. So and perhaps this is a blind spot for me, but I always assume things that would be hard for me would also be hard for other people. I would everything that's happened to Ja Morant from point A to point B being right now, it's a lot. And, you know, and when you're not playing well, and you feel like you should be, and you feel like the pressure's on you, and you are the face of a franchise. Like, when the Grizzlies lose, you know, Desmond Bane is not the face of that.
Right.
You know, Jonas Valanciunas is not the face of that. Ja Morant is the face of that. And, you know, he's a young guy learning as he goes. I'm not going to spend any time, much time, criticizing.
Well, and of course, a week ago, he just lit up Portland in consecutive games. Like, he was playing as well as he had ever played.
Right.
I don't think the year as a taken as a whole has gone the way he would want. Not disastrously so. There's just been highs and lows, and this is very clearly a low. While we have you here, it was nice seeing D Rose back at FedEx Forum, and he was awesome. Like he was unbelievable. Particularly down the stretch, looked tremendous. Were you the beat writer that year?
No, I was at I went to CBS in 2006. Okay. So my last year on the beat was. My four full years on the beat were the Rodney Carney years. You know, that's the way I define that. I was, my first full year was Rodney Carney's freshman year. My last full year was Rodney Carney's senior year in 2006. So I just missed Derek and that team. But I knew all those guys because Antonio and Chris and Joey were all there while I was on the beat. And then I got to know Derek because I did an awful sit-down interview with him you know, in the off season.
Where was it?
Central Barbecue. Oh, it was bad. It was bad for two reasons. A, I mean, I was just, you know, I was not equipped to do what I was trying to do. Plus, I look ridiculous.
Ridiculous?
Oh, it was that phase where I had the big, big hair, and you know, it was all ridiculous. And then like Derek had nothing to say. He wasn't being rude. It's awesome watching him do post game interviews now because like he's a grown man, you know, he's a father and he's you know, he's matured and he knows how to do that now. But at 18 years old, he just had nothing to say. And it wasn't him. I've been around people when you're interviewing them and they're being rude, short, because they'd rather be anywhere else.
Right.
That wasn't him.
No.
He just had nothing to say. So, you know, take an inexperienced on-camera person at the time, dressed ridiculously, and pair that person with an 18-year-old who has nothing to say, and it's not.
Oh, so terrific. This was an on-camera interview. Does it exist out there?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, I would be embarrassed. I wish it didn't. I'd be embarrassed when people are going to look at it right now.
People are going to go look at GP interviewing Derrick Rose at Central Barbecue.
It was really bad. And then, you know, I was around Derek all that year. And then, you know, pre-draft stuff, I was around Derek. And, you know, I got to know Reggie Rose, his brother. Like, you know, one time I was flying back from L.A. After a USC-UCLA game, because that was the year O.J. Mayo was at USC and Kevin Love was at UCLA. And I got seated next to Reggie Rose. Like, Reggie was flying back from L.A. as well. And the Tigers, I believe, are like at Southern Miss or something. So it was just weird that Reggie was flying back from L.A. And then, of course, the way that whole agent story went down where, you know, Wes thought they had Derek locked up and then he ended up going with B.J. Armstrong at the end. Oh. And B.J.'s people were based out of L.A. It all made it. When I got on the plane and I was sitting next to Reggie Rose, I was like, well, this doesn't really make sense. But then after Derek signed all his deals, it made perfect sense. So I got to know Reggie and Derek fairly well back then, and it's awesome to see him having this, you know, second part or third part of his career because, you know, we always talk about how injuries robbed Penny of what he could have been, which would have been a Hall of Famer. You know, the injuries robbed Derek of what he would have been, but the idea that it's 2021, he's still a relevant, you know, basketball player, you know, being a useful part and a very important part of what is going to be a playoff team is, again, it's awesome to see.
GP, thank you very much. I'll talk to you at 5 o'clock. Appreciate it.
All right, I'll see you. Bye.
That is Gary Parrish.
I've saved everyone the trouble. I'm tweeting out the link to lunch.
Oh, don't do that to GP. Have you already done it?
I haven't pushed
it. He doesn't want you to do it.
It's on YouTube.
Make people do the work. Can you play a little bit of the audio for us here?
So you don't mean to tweet it.
Well,
you
no, he doesn't want the there we go. You know what we're going to do? Hold on. We'll make this.
Hey, everybody. Gary
Parrish. We'll make this the one story you've been waiting for because we got to take a break. All right. So we'll play this interview from GP and Derek Rose at the end of the show. We'll do that. Oh, no, but we have Fish on Friday on Tuesday. Give us 2 minutes. Give us 2 minutes. Can we crank it up? Give us 2 minutes.
Basketball columnist, CBS Sports Line, coming to you today from Central Barbecue, one of Memphis's prized institutions. Joining me for lunch, one of Memphis's prized recruits, Derrick Rose, new point guard for the Memphis Tigers. Hey, Derrick, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Getting used to the weather.
Yeah, I know. It's hot out here. Did the staff tell you how humid it was going to be when you got down?
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to it. Coming from Chicago, it's so cold, so I hope it feels good.
I know you've only been here a few days now. You're still getting adjusted, but have you been able to capture the vibe going around the city? I mean, people are excited for not only what you're going to bring to this team, but what this team may be able to do. A lot of talk about preseason number one. Have you been able to sense that at all?
A little bit. Like, when I walk into class, some people know who I am. But it should hit me when I go through this clinic in about another 30 minutes, so I'll get used to it then.
I know. They've already put you to work. You've been in town a couple of days, already in classes. You got a clinic to work with kids at, like, 1 o'clock this afternoon. So keeping you busy, huh?
Yeah, always keeping you busy, tired, lifting weights and stuff like that. So by this time next week, I should be used to it.
Also, by this time next week, there's probably not going to be a, you know, even when we walked in today, there were a few people pointing.